Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for February 20th, 2022. Sarah, what's up?
Hey, super excited to be here. I've starting the cash flow. I want to get a second stream of income going. One of the things that has sort of fallen into my lap, and this is also partly because of Miata. I'm going to do a stock talk with her at some point, I think in like May or September. I have a friend here who actually brought me into Abundance Bound, Lisa. I'm obsessed with stocks. And so she started asking me like what kind of stocks to buy and how the market's doing and all that. So I started telling her, and she was like, you know, you should charge me, because she comes here to Abundance Bound and listens to you guys all day. Anyway, it sort of snowballed, and she's like told all of her friends about me. I'm going to give like a talk. I put together a PowerPoint and I practiced it with Lisa yesterday, and she actually told me I put too much in it. Like, mm-hmm. She was like, you need to like take out half of this because yes. You can charge people for like a second session.
That's right.
And so I was like, oh, and she was like, ask Christine on your cash flow thing tomorrow about how to do this. And she was like, I just wondered. And I also I have no idea how much to charge people. I was like $10. And I know that's probably too. I love like your eyes get like, and you like purse your lips because you don't, you're like, no. I know. That's why I'm here.
No. I mean, the first time I went to, I was a member of this thing called the Actors Network. I printed up my little flyer when I was an organizer just starting. And I brought it to my friend who was the co-leader of the organization. I'm like, can I hang this up? And he looked at it and he pulled me into his office and he's like, you can't hang this up with those rates. And I'm like, what? Because I would have done it for free. Like, I love doing it. And he's like, no. And he gave me this whole little thing of like, look, this is how much we charge when people ask, you know, members ask us for advice. And this is what you should be doing. I was like, so yeah, I had someone help me with that. And I've had other people over the years be like, it's time for you to raise your rates or something like that. And it's always felt weird. So I totally am not, my reaction, my face reaction mostly comes from like, no.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad.
But that's our natural, I think just as caring humans, like that's our natural go-to place. Totally understandable. Okay. So the first thing I want to say inside the cash flow course.
Yeah. I finished the introduction. That's all I did so far.
Look through the table of contents, because I think in the communication section, there is a section about doing speeches and live presentations.
Oh, okay.
And how to structure the content. But one of the things I say, classic mistake that experts or anybody who has information to share does is overwhelm the audience with too much information. Okay. And I made this mistake for a long time until I finally realized that my audiences had like a stunned look on their face when I was done. Like, I was a tsunami of information. Not good. It's better for you to be able to deliver a little chunk of salient advice, answer the questions people have on that, so that they feel like, okay, this is something I can use and something I can do. And you can let them know, hey, I have part two of this I didn't want to overwhelm you today, but we do have part two that we can talk about in the future after, you know, this part. And one of my pet peeves is with speakers is they, you know, they'll come up and you'll be like, okay, so we're going to cover the top 10 things, the blah, blah, blah. And they'll do 1 through 5. Notice the time that they only have 10 minutes left to do the last 5. And then they kind of rush through to the end. I'm like, no, no, no. Your job is to manage the time.
Okay.
Start on time, end on time, cover everything you promised to cover. And it would be far better for that person to be, especially if you, this is not your case at the moment, but especially people who are talking, who have private one-on-one services to sell, is to say, okay, there's 10 things I want you to know about stocks. Today, we're going to have time in this hour to talk about 3 of them. So I've picked the 3. So people are like, oh, but wait, there's 10.
Right. Hmm.
Now I have a little like open loop. I want to know about the 10, but I'm only going to get the 3. That's right. A good way. And you're also giving them salient information.
Right.
So is this Lisa Fernandez, by the way?
Yes. Yes.
Ah, love her. Yes. So, yeah. Yeah. So cut your material in half.
Okay.
And you'll want to leave time for questions, and you can decide if you're okay with having questions as it flows through the material, or if you want to group questions at the end, not at the end. Read the section, because there's a very big point I make about not putting Q&A at the very. That's how a lot of speakers end.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Right. You want something right after the Q&A, because the worst case scenario is someone comes with this question that just brings all the energy down, or it's too complex, or they're taking a year to get it out of their mouth. Okay. And you just feel the energy drain from the room, and then it's over. And that's what people are kind of like, the taste in their mouth as they go away. No, that's not the taste you want. So you'll read about what I suggest.
Yeah. Okay.
Instead. Yeah.
I got it right here. I printed it.
That's so great. So here's the good thing about what you're delivering.
Yeah.
The topic of stocks, there's 2 things about it that you need to consider. One is no one's investing in stocks unless they have at least a little bit of extra money lying around, you know? So everyone going to a talk on stocks has money to spare.
Yeah.
Good to know. The second thing is that they are investing in stocks in hoping to make money.
Yeah.
So the idea of paying you to learn how to do it, there's going to be a return on this investment. So you have the ideal scenario, people with extra money who expect to get a return on this investment. So they're willing to then make the investment.
Well, that's what happened with you. When I got the coaching session with you, I was like, I will make this money back. And I did.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you have something where there's a direct line between what you're offering and money,
okay,
that allows your price to be naturally higher. And then, of course, you factor in, well, it can't be too high, because I'm sort of like not, you know, I haven't written a book on this. But the reason people are coming to you is they trust Lisa, but the reason Lisa likes you is you're able to talk about it in a way that she understands. That's not intimidating.
Right. Right.
It's like you're an every man.
Yes. Yes. Every
woman, and you did it. That's who I like. I was like, oh no, just, I want an average Joe to tell me in average words how to do something that intimidates me.
Right.
If I think the subject matter is intimidating, I don't want to go to a professional expert, because it's usually they talk over my head.
Right.
And I want to feel like I can ask all the dumb questions.
Right. Yeah. I totally want to be that person.
Yes.
Because that was me too. Yeah.
So that's what you say. So I'm doing this talk on stocks. Here's why I think you should go, because I'm just a gal who learned how to do this, who will talk to you in plain English, because I know you can do it too. And this is a safe space. I've asked all the dumb questions already. There are no, you know, so feel free. There aren't no dumb questions, but I want you to feel totally comfortable asking me whatever you want to ask. Where do I sign up? Kind of thing. So then where are you feeling in terms of the price? Like, what are you feeling?
Well, I have no idea. So I told Lisa, I was like, yeah, but I'm like a newbie. And she was like, no, you're not. Like, now I've been doing this since December 2020, mm-hmm. but I've been since I got, I was blessed to get gifted with some stocks. And because of that, I had to, I thought you could put them in a bank account. So I've definitely all the dumb questions right here. And, anyway, I opened up a Robinhood account and I'm now no longer with Robinhood, but, but I've read and studied stock. I'm like obsessed. It's kind of sick. Like I've read and studied stocks every day since like whenever I got the gift, like December 18th or something. So anyway, she was saying you are not a newbie at this, but I'm not this like wizened financial advisor at Vanguard.
Yeah, but nobody wants that. Like I just said, you know what they want? They want someone right. who's like two steps ahead on the path.
Right. Right. Exactly. And that's me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I,
and they don't want to read about it as much as you. That's why they're willing.
Right. Lisa said that over and over. She's like, Sarah, I do not want to like read about any of this. I can't even tell you how much I do not want to read. I was like, I love it though. It's so interesting. Okay. So it's like my first talk. So uh-huh. Now Miata had talked when she first started the membership, she told everybody there are going to be kinks. You're getting this low price now because I am going to be working out my kinks on you, but no, I'll be working hard. And, you know, it was very like so wonderfully Miata about it. And so, anyway, I don't know. I think $10 is too low. Per person, but I literally don't know.
Okay. I think you should definitely tell them the story about you got the stocks and you thought you could just put them in a bank. Okay. That will make everybody feel totally comfortable. But you're not, I mean, yeah. This is the first talk you're giving.
Right.
So will it be probably your best talk ever? Probably not, but that's not, don't preface it with like, I'm working out the kinks. So you're getting it for this low price. Right. Just set a
just
price.
Do it. Okay.
So what price?
Can you tell me?
No. What do I will go, but after you, you first.
25. You're going to be like 10,000.
No, I'm not actually. The number that comes up for me. Okay. So here's how am I picking this number?
Right.
How should you pick this number?
Right.
Most important thing is that you pick a number that you can get behind, that you can get in perfect alignment with.
Yeah.
So that you are talking about your offer of like, oh my gosh, it's this and I'm charging this and it should be a no-brainer for you. It's going to be amazing. Like you'll learn a lot. You'll take a big step forward. It'll be worth it. Like there's no question in your mind. You can get behind that price. It just flows off your tongue. Right. And if in order for you to get in that alignment, your rate's a little bit lower to start with, you can always charge more in the future. Yeah.
Right.
So we want something that you feel good with. So that's the first thing I'm looking for, because I could state a number and you're like, oh, sounds good, but you can't quite get behind it. So the energy's wonky when you're talking about it.
Right.
But that said, I do want to stretch you a little bit, but the number that comes into my mind is $50.
Yeah, actually. Okay, great. I could get behind that. Yeah.
Okay. Now the way you just said that, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. 50, makes me feel like you were kind of maybe thinking about that already. But why did you say 20?
It's so funny you said that.
Yes. Like,
but then as soon as you said it and I was like, oh yeah, because my first reaction was like, I was thinking that. And then my second reaction was like, I'll work towards that.
Right. So why did you then, when I asked you, why did you, this is just for everybody to just hear the gears of your brain turn, because it turns like this for all of us. So when I asked you, why did you then say 25?
I know.
I'm curious.
I have this intense fear of asking people for money. Okay. And it's tied to being honest and not like a snake oil salesman. I would like to get over that. You know, like when I asked for the raise at work, when I sent them the letter and you were like 3 sentences and here's my number, I just sent the email like with the number and I literally like, I didn't go vomit in my toilet, but like, I definitely like hugged my dog and was like, pickles, you know, like,
yeah.
Like what if people are going to say like, it was kind of when you said like the, what if my like boss like talk shit to me, like at the water cooler and it's like, oh, she's so greedy. She asked for that much, blah, blah, blah. And, it's sort of like somebody, what if they say like, you know, oh, like she want, how much does she want? Like,
right.
I'm afraid of that, I guess. I don't know.
Right. I think a lot of service providers, usually when they're starting out, but sometimes years into doing what they're doing, their story to themselves is, well, if I charge less, then I won't be on the hook in case it's not good.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So it's like, well, it was only 25. So what did you expect? Like, you know, you're sort of hedging your
bet. So true. Yes.
Instead of $50 feels fair.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do what I need to do to deliver the best I can. Doesn't mean deliver. Over delivering doesn't mean bombarding them with information, by the way. Over delivering means you run it like a professional. It starts on time. It ends on time. That shows you're honoring their time.
Yeah.
And you can say, you know, we have 10 minutes left and I want to honor our time that we agreed on today, you know, and you're and you're managing the time well, and you're getting the information and you're answering the questions with care and you're treating everybody. That's all part of the texture of what makes the event or the service feel worthwhile to the people paying you. It's not just like, is the information or the actual service going to be perfectly, precisely perfect? Like that's people, when they walk out of something going, ah, that was money well spent. And by the way, oh, they are usually basing that on a feeling, not just on the information. And very often, more often, I would say, not very often, but more often than you'd expect, people can be very satisfied from an event they went to and didn't learn anything. I've gone to things where I'm like, oh, I knew all that already, but that I wanted to know that I knew it.
Yes.
So now I don't have to worry and I don't have to read up on this anymore. I get it. Yes. I didn't learn a thing. And that was money well spent.
Right.
So stay out of people's business.
Okay.
You can't actually control what they think. And it's just a better experience if you feel you're getting money in return for the energy expenditure and you've made a presentation for them and you know you're just slapping this together or showing up in your
going,
hey, want to talk socks? Yeah.
And it's a good presentation too. I was like nervous when I was giving it to Lisa and like at the end she was like, oh my God, like Sarah, it was so good. Cause I thought I didn't put in enough, of course. You know, it's like and she was like, you know, anyway.
Okay. So when someone you trust says to you, oh my God, that was great. believe them.
Yeah, right.
Like, exactly. Go, okay, then I'm going to stop expending energy worrying if it is. Because there are people who it's like, okay, well, that one person liked it, but until 20 people say it's great, I can't trust it. But then 20 is not enough and 50 is not enough. And it's just never enough.
Yeah.
Let it be enough. It could be one person you trust, or it could be two people. Like, call it a day, stop expending energy, then just do it and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Really, oh, this is so exciting. This is so exciting. And then the challenge for you is to, you know, say at some point in the thing, just now, are you available to have private conversations with people?
Oh, is that something? Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So you want to say, like, obviously there's more to this. This, I'm giving you the most solid step one today.
Right.
So let me know if having another gathering for step two is something you're interested in. So I'd weave that in. And then I'd also weave in, you know, something we could go into during a private session together is this and this and this. We're not going to cover that today, but that is definitely something that in a private session, if you'd already had clients, you would say, that's something I work with my clients on, or I've helped people through that, you know, in private sessions.
Okay.
It's not like you do a sales speech at the end. You just let them know, hey, I work with private. We could have a private conversation about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just weave it in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So when are you going to do this?
I'm not sure. I had the dry run yesterday. And so the next step is to set a date. So within the next month or so, hopefully sooner than later on a Saturday. So that's the next step, but I needed to get my number before I sent out this email to people saying, hey, you're expressed interest and here's the pricing and all that. So I've been sort of waiting to figure out the financial part.
Okay. So when you get all that together and figure out the way people sign up and give you the money, send a blurb about it to me. And I'd be happy to share it.
Oh my God.
With, my alumni list, because I trust Lisa. And if Lisa says this is quality information, then
oh my God,
I know she's part of that group. So
yeah,
they would trust, you know, so yeah.
Okay. I will definitely send it to you then. Absolutely. Holy shit. Yeah, definitely. No problem. It'll be coming very soon.
Okay, good. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is very exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Hello, Regina. Do you want to talk more about that, or do you have any questions from?
I sent it before I went back into Mighty Networks. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Let me just say for everyone listening to this, I was remiss. Sarah is a cash flow kitten with this idea of talking and helping people with stocks. Regina is a cash flow cat, I believe. Yes. And she has a business where she does peaceful pets, clearing space and helping animals and their owners and the spaces they share have a much more calm environment. And she uses tools and Reiki and stuff like that.
Energy work. Yeah.
She got an offer. Someone is putting together is curating a book where different people would contribute essays to it. And they're asking the contributors to be like, hey, if you pay $750, we'll pool all that money and actually get a book. We'll self-publish a book that looks nice and you will be a contributor in it. And so what have you thought about that based on the feedback I gave you?
I got another, I let talked, you know, via email that I'm like, I'm gonna do some research into this. And, you know, I didn't tell her directly, but that was like code for like, I'm going to go over this with Christine Aller, my business coach. And she wrote back like, oh, totally, self-care and digging into this I totally respect that. And I think it's great that you're honoring that. And she said, I just want you to know that I want to read your writing about this stuff. And I want to see you soar and be successful and people find out about you. And so I was like, I took it in a way of like, oh, I guess this is a good opportunity. I guess this could be good. And then when I wrote out filled in your form for the coaching question today, I feel like I came from now in hindsight, having listened to your message to me, I think it was like one of my inner children, my inner child, I don't know what age, the excitement to be included, excitement to have an opportunity, and ignoring the price tag. You know, that like, oh, but shush to the like rational, logical side of the brain. This is an opportunity. Let's just be open for this. I want to be open to opportunities. And then I listened to your recording and it brought me back to my initial reaction to reading that email by myself when I first got it. And I thought, uh-oh, someone else is going to be doing the book design. This is how like I'm so into aesthetics and I love to do graphic designy type stuff anyways and pick out colors and da 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 da. This is so much a part of my expression. And so to put that in someone else's hands, and usually in this field, I've not seen that much stuff I like aesthetically, in the like alternative modality healing stuff, new agey stuff. And so I was like, a little red flag did go off, like just based on this very superficial part of it, of like the book cover could be so ugly to my eye, and my name's gonna be on it, and I don't know how I feel about that. And then seeing that like I would have to do social media marketing for this book for other people, it wasn't the part of doing it for other people, it was the part of like, I don't really have that many followers yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know if they're going to think this is valuable. My audience at the moment is not like a bunch of people. So felt a little insecure about that. And yeah, it did feel like there were a lot of things I'd have to do for this, plus paying for it. And you know, I just ran it by my fiance really quick and he was like, wait, you shouldn't have to pay for that. Like if you're going to be sharing what you think about this stuff and what you know about this kind of stuff, shouldn't they pay you to share? And I was like, yeah, right. So
yeah,
I am going to pass. And yeah, I mean like so it was like an investment of $750 to do all this, which my fiance also was like, dude, Amazon publishing is like pretty much, I think it's free. Like it doesn't cost much. So I don't know what's the transparency of where this money's going. And then what's the transparency of how you'd get paid from this? And I don't know. It was just, he thought it sounded kind of scammy actually. I don't know.
I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a scam.
Okay.
I just think it's their idea of they had this idea. They want to get themselves out there.
Right.
For some reason, they want to do it in a book form. They've probably already decided on if there's like a book person they want to work with or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we want to work with them and it's this much money. How can we make that happen? And they're like, oh, well, we'll just make it like a group project. So I don't think it's a scam.
Okay.
And here's the thing about once you start a business or a side business and you start to network and connect with other people, opportunities are going to come.
Okay. I
connected you with Katya. Katya gave you an opportunity for an event. Katya heard about this group of, you know, these either her friends or friends of her friends. Mm-hmm. And then she thought of you and passed along, which was lovely of her. Like, yeah, that's all good. So you're going to get a lot of different opportunities. And yeah, you want to be open to considering. That's what you're open to. You're open to considering opportunities. Not being open to opportunities is when it's like, I'm not even going to open the email. I'm not even going to reply. Like, I don't know. I'm too scared. I don't want to even consider it because I'm scared or unworthy, or you're not even considering it. But being open to opportunities is like, oh, sure, I'll look at anything. Like, and then you just make your decision.
Okay.
And the universe just keeps giving you more opportunities. And then you pick and choose and pick and choose and pick and choose. There's going to be more. And what's important is for you to select opportunities that aren't too far out of the reach of where you're at with your business.
That was the other thing about this. It was not really aligned with my niche.
Yeah. So that would be more general healing Reiki stuff, but I'm like, that's not, I mean, if we're really looking at, I'm spending $750 to market my business, this isn't actually marketing your business. And it's $750 of marketing dollars that you don't really have a lot of control over where it's going to get in front of. So you're, even if people read your work there, they're not, you probably have a bio or something that would, you can mention Peaceful Pets, but it's just sort of a more circuitous line back to the part of your business that you make the money from.
Right.
But also you don't have, I know you just booked a commercial, but you don't have, by the way, congratulations, just booked a commercial and she was flown to Oregon. It's amazing. Yes. But it's not like you have 750 just to spare.
No, every dollar is like,
yeah,
what's the best place to put this beautiful dollar? You know,
when I was starting out my organizing business, I wouldn't have had 750 or a that point in time, 250 to just throw at something like this. I wouldn't have had it. I'd have been like, oh gosh, no. And then if you, at this point in your business, it's not just the money, it's the amount of time that you'd have to do. I remember when these things called summits were very popular, where it's like one person would host this day-long thing of speak, and you'd be invited to come and speak. You'd be giving it for free. Sometimes you have a free thing that you would then give to the people. Sometimes they would sell all the recordings, and then you sometimes get a piece of it. Sometimes they would get all of it, but it was basically for them to build their email list. From the people that you, that each of the speakers brought in. But the thing that turned me off from these, from doing any of these to where I just say no now, is the amount of the marketing. Like, okay, so we're going to need you to send out like four things and this, and I'm like, that's not how I communicate with my list. So sometimes I would say, I'm not going to do any of that. If you still want me to come, yeah. You know, I would just start saying, I'm not going to do this. But after a while, it was just too much work.
Yeah.
What I would be getting out of it. In the beginning, it was a little more like, okay, maybe this will help. You know, so it sometimes offers are good at certain points in your business, I mean, opportunities are good at certain points in your business, and not the same opportunity is not good at another point in your business. Mm. Like if this opportunity came to you in 3 years, we might be having a different conversation, but right now, I would rather you take, like I said, all the hours that you're going to be putting into this, writing it. I'm sure they're going to have you rewrite it, then marketing it for them. Take all of that time, or just half of that time, and put it towards you marketing Peaceful Pets.
Right. Yeah. I know. I thought, because that's what Zach said, like you could put that money towards so many other things in your life that will help forward you in Peaceful Pets, but also like in my acting career. And
sure.
And once he said that, I was like, right. And then after hearing your message too, and I thought, if I was so open to throwing this down for this, an opportunity, you know, I could pay like a social media person to work on my Peaceful Pets social media for like 6 weeks for that amount of money and get it, that ball rolling kind of, that might be better and more targeted to actually marketing this business. Yeah.
And so. Sometimes that is why the universe is putting this opportunity in front of you, not necessarily saying, this is it for you, but going to get you starting to be stimulated to think, oh, well, what if I just put $200 towards social media for my, you know, it doesn't even have to be seven figures, but if
yeah, I'm willing, right.
If part of me was willing to spend this money, what else could I spend it on? The universe wants us to grow. Mm. So sometimes it gives us stuff just like the grain of sand in the oyster that creates the irritant that creates the pearl. It's like the little thing that gets us thinking in a different way and then comes up with another idea that we wouldn't have thought of if we hadn't gone through the thought process of considering this offer.
You know, I had been talking to my sister like a week or two before this opportunity came about, and she was saying, why don't you like write a little book about like top five training things with your pet and using energy work or something like, or top three crystals to use with your pets or something like that. And like, just make it like super cheap little book. You could publish it on Amazon or whatever. And so I had written that down on my goals list on my calendar. And then this came up and I just saw Amazon publishing kind of, you know, and I was like, oh, well, I could learn how to do that if I did this opportunity. But maybe it's just something kind of showing me like maybe I'm on the right track with my own idea of doing that. I don't know if you think that's wise to do with my time or money myself, but
let me first say
that is a little bit what got me kind of wrapped up in like, oh, jumping at this opportunity.
This opportunity as presented from what I understood, they're not going to teach you anything about
publishing. No, I guess not.
No, they're just going to go do it. They're going to take your money and do it. They're not going to come away with an insight into how anything of that works. I think that what you could start with is a PDF that looks really pretty. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You can have someone opt in for on your website for free, and then you deliver it. If you want to record the audio for it, then they get a PDF and audio and just make that available and something you can kind of, hey, everybody, when you're giving a talk, if you want to go to peacefulpetsla.com/whatever, you can get this and it will walk you through and I would make it like the first three things to do when you're feeling that your pet is unsettled.
Okay.
And first you want to say, like, they could be unsettled for different reasons, this reason, or maybe this is happening, you know, all the things we've talked about that could unsettle a pet. And then just give them three things they could do. And then at the end you go, now, if you have success with these three things, that's fantastic. If you feel like you're a little intimidated to do this with your pet, or you want some backup, or you feel you need something a little more intense, happy to have a session with you. Here's how to connect.
Love it.
I would do that and just have it, you know, figure out how you do a little opt-in thing, and then it's delivered to them.
Mm-hmm. The technical stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that only costs you time.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then start there and see if people like it and see if people respond. And then if you do want to write more, you know, writing is such a great thing because it starts to give you your own vocabulary about how you approach this stuff. And it helps you find your voice as far as like your written voice, your voice in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So the writing is never a waste of time. Whether it's writing copy for your website or writing blog posts or publishing something on Medium or whatever, never waste your time. But maybe there's a publication like for veterinarians or dog coaches, or like, is there some publication or blog that you could do a guest post for?
Yeah. Okay.
Cause that's reaching like your target.
Yeah. Body. Right. Right. Okay. So as you're talking, I realized that I think I was feeling a little people pleasy with like, oh, I just want to make Katya happy because she thought of me for this.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I say back to her, or someone that offers an opportunity that, you know, you do a little due diligence and it's just not the right fit. Mm-hmm. And how do you, because I just want to make sure, don't rub her the wrong way and I come off gracious, because I am very grateful she would think of me for anything.
Sure.
How do you say no nicely?
Great question. Very important thing to know how to do. Before I answer that, I want to make this point, and for everybody listening, this is a really important thing to integrate into your life and awareness. It's important to start to develop being able to assess where you're at with people. Like what your relationship is with people.
Mm.
For example, I introduced Regina to a client of mine, Katya, lovely person. I just had a feeling these two little souls are such a good, like, I can't, like, it's almost like your souls are made from the same stardust, the two of you. And I just felt like you should meet each other. So, and then you know that then Katya, after talking to you, invited you on a panel and introduced you to some of her people, her clients, in her group, which she, you know, she doesn't just introduce everybody to those folks. So right now, you have a good relationship with Katya. Katya loves you.
Yes.
You love Katya. Like you're solid. And it's important to know, like, okay, I'm solid with her.
Mm.
And I don't have to take this opportunity as a way to like make our relationship more solid. It's solid. It's solid. Okay. You could not talk to Katya for a full year. She'd still remember who you are. She'd still remember what you do. She'd probably still refer people to you. Like, you're good. You're good. She passed this on to you because she thought of you. Just like if you heard somebody who had just had, you know, lost a beloved pet, you'd be like, oh, you know, if you want a support group for that, I know somebody who runs a support group for that. You would pass people to her. You are now colleagues and you're solid. So
okay,
taking this opportunity to moving the needle on your relationship with Katya is neither here nor there. Now there's other relationships in your life where you're like, well, I'm just getting to know this person. Still, I wouldn't take a $750 paid thing to move a needle on a relationship unless you just have that money, you know, lying around. But there are other relationships in your life that you're maybe nurturing right now and need a little more attention and need to touch base with to kind of make it a little more solid. And that's where you should be focusing time and attention, not on Katya, not on me.
Yeah.
Solid.
Right.
Solid with Katya, solid with me. It's like, okay. So but it's important because otherwise it's like you're in this pleasing everybody mode and making sure I'm touching, you know, connecting with everybody the same amount all the time. It's like, no, you don't connect with everybody the same amount. You nurture the relationships that need to be nurtured and you just kind of put on cruise control the relationships, I'm talking business relationships, that you're solid with. So that's an important part to know. So then how do you, you know, say, no, thank you, that was great.
But you know, that does bring up some like inner child stuff, you know, like projecting other relationships, not business relationships, onto business relationships. Like, oh, I have to do this much with this person.
Stay in your good graces.
Yes, because that was another pattern from another familial relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a safe way to test that theory. Oh, I have to do things to stay in this person's good graces or to stay in anyone's good graces.
Hmm.
Your business is a great opportunity to test those theories. Because let's say you're like, well, I'm going to not do anything and see if I'm still in Katya's good graces. And if you're not, then you just lose one connection. And there's a bunch of connections you can make in your business. Like if you lose one, it's not the end of your business. So it's a real safe place to experiment. And the only way you're going to start to loosen the bindings of that idea of like, I got to stay in people's good graces is if you experiment with not feeding that. You're not an asshole all of a sudden. You're just not feeding. Oh, I got to keep doing things, keep doing things, keep doing things, keep proving my worth, keep proving my love. You got to experiment so that you see, oh my God, nothing happened. It didn't explode. They didn't get mad.
Right.
Nothing changed. Oh, okay. And experimenting over in the business side of things where the stakes are much lower can help you then start to experiment in your personal life where the stakes feel a lot higher. Because nothing is going to happen with you and Katya if you decline this offer. She even said to you in the original email, I don't care, do it, don't do it. I just thought of you and passed it along.
Right.
Like she literally said that.
Yeah. She did, didn't she?
Yeah. So please believe people when they tell you something like that. Yeah. So, but then how do you gracefully decline? So it's just basically, I so appreciate that you thought of me for this. It always feels good to be thought of. And I can see where you would sense this is right up my alley. I've considered, and with what I have with my plan, it doesn't really fit with my plans for this year. So I'm going to decline. you just be like, well, you know, it just doesn't really quite fit. And an alternative to that, if like someone was asking you to do something for them or something like that, it was just, you can say something like, well, oh my God, I so want to be able to help you with that. But in order to take that on, I'd have to disappoint somebody else because I have to move something else off my plate. So I just can't do it. I just don't have the bandwidth right now.
The bandwidth. There's the
such bandwidth. Such a good phrase. Yeah. But for in this case, for Katya, who said, you know, she doesn't care if you take it or not. She just passed it along because she thought of you. You're like, oh my God, it feels so great to be thought of. Thank you so much. I can see where you thought this might be right up my alley. I considered it, but I looked at my plans for this year and I just won't be able to fit it in. But thanks so much.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, and congratulations for being thought of and for getting offers. Look at you.
Yep.
And Katya knows that sometimes you've demonstrated to her, sometimes you do take offers when it's a good fit and sometimes you don't. And that's just called doing business. She does the same thing.
Yeah.
She gets asked for things and pitched things for her podcast. And sometimes she says yes. And sometimes she says no. And so, yeah, everyone's just doing business. So she'll likely just be like, okay.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the best thing is when you take the time you need to consider the thing and then just get back to the person. Leaving people hanging is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Because then Katya can go back to her friends and be like, oh no, she passed or whatever. However, you know, just leaving people hanging, that's unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
Not responding to an offer, not if it's a stranger giving you an offer in your inbox. I get those all the time. I just delete them. But it's like, yeah, just don't leave people hanging so they can go on and find their people. They're going to find their people.
Yeah.
Who are like perfect offer, perfect time, perfect thing, perfect everything. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Good job, Regina.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you for your help. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Britt, June, we're here if you need us.
I have a fun brainstorm question.
Yes, please.
So I made a short film called Circus Person a couple of years ago, and it finished up its film festival route. We recently sent it to Vimeo to try to get a staff pick, and it did not get a staff pick, unfortunately. But it's giving me this new perspective. It's giving me this new idea that I'd like to release it in a unique way that feels less like a short film and more like a piece of art that is being released online. So these are just, you know, these are just throw out the wall kind of ideas like MoMA PS1, having someone like Yoko Ono put it on her website, pitching to the Hammer Museum to put it in a digital kind of gallery. This is just something that I don't really know. These are just outside the box kind of ideas, but that's where I'm at with it.
Oh, I think that's so clever and smart.
Mm.
And I think that for you, it just sounds more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, that would be worthwhile to put my time towards trying to get that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels more exciting to me. I mean, it is a film about the circus, which is more underground. It is, in a way, it's a multimedia self-portrait that I collaborated on with a film crew. So I kind of like thinking about it in a way that's different than being like, this is a short film. This is obviously it is a film, but yeah, I mean, if there's just any other platforms you think of that might ring a bell or.
I will have to think about that because that is not a usual question, but I would call it. I would start referring to it in this, as you said, like a multimedia self-portrait on film. Like instead of short film. Yeah. I just liked that description.
Yeah. It feels accurate too.
Now, do you think like this is a placement where you would think that the place that you'd be putting it would not want you to be putting it anywhere else? I'm not sure about that. Like, is that an assumption I'm just making, or like,
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I mean, I would like ideally for it to be something that's clickable, as my show is coming out right now. I think I have the next 8 weeks while, you know, I'm doing publicity for Severance, but I already feel more people coming towards my Instagram, and it would be nice to be able to direct them towards, you know, in the next couple of weeks to have a platform where you can go see the film as well.
Yes.
So the obvious ideas are, you know, there's also something called Short of the Week, which is again more of a traditional path of releasing a short film. And that's definitely still on the table. But I think it's just like a cool idea to do something a little bit avant-garde with it, because it is such an art house piece. And yeah, I'm going to be pitching the series very soon in March. So having some kind of interesting premiere online would be really fun.
And is it that you want to associate it with a name like Red Cat or Yoko Ono's site, or a particular museum? Like, is that, are you looking for that cachet?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as a way to align myself with that, that it is outside the box. It's not necessarily just a short film, you know, that it's being seen through a little bit of a different lens.
And I'm wondering, over the course of the pandemic, if there's any galleries or gallerists that have moved kind of online temporarily. Like, I would see, like, I would start making lists. Museums, individuals like curators like Yoko Ono, or people, you know, involved in the arts and or circus related things. Organizations. I just said Red Cat because that's kind of like the producing arm of Cal Poly, I believe. They do their stuff in the Red Cat Theater downtown. I don't know. And then prestigious galleries or gallery owners that may have moved stuff online temporarily during the pandemic. And then the other list I'd make is who else does kind of this kind of video, like their art is done on film or video. Like, I mean, the first person that comes to my mind is Bill Viola and his so where's his stuff? Like, I know his stuff is in like the giant museums, but I mean, like, where are the other people who do this kind of things, and where is their stuff online? And I'm wondering if, like, you know, museums have online, like, little mini platforms where the bar to entry is not as high as it would be to actually show in the museum.
Right.
Here's the thing that I would say. I think it's a path of really good inquiry for you, because I do think these are your people. And if not for this, for something else in the future, but it would be good to, for you to kind of scope out the landscape anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then just start asking. And mm-hmm. then another, so that is one road, is you seeing if somebody else has a platform that you could then contribute this to. But the other way you could play this, another road, is if you, like, let's just say Bill Viola didn't have any site, but what if, I'm not saying him, but like, you could find a person in the art world and say, would you like to present this? And then you could just have a site where it can, circus person can be viewed, but then Yoko Ono is introducing it and her name's mm-hmm. there and her foundation information or whatever she needs to have, like, just someone who's presenting it.
Yeah. That's sort of like, I would build my own website basically for it. Well, it already has its own website, but yeah. But
you're building the website for the person who's presenting it. It's just sort of like a white or whatever color you want, but like a very minimalist website that you're able to send people to, and they see the branding for the institution or the person who's presenting this. And then what's in it for the person is the fact that you're in the middle of publicity. You're looking for a way to send people here. And then when people land here, they get to hear about your thing and why you're interested, you know, why you're presenting this and why you think it's worthwhile mm-hmm. or whatever. So mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to find something that's already built. You could just find the cachet and create this thing.
It's like build the culture around it as well, which is sort of, that would be part of the art making. Yeah.
And let's say you find a person, I'm just going to use Yoko Ono, but let's say, and you can say, now, if you have other projects from other artists that you like, you know, that you would like to include, they can have their stuff after mine or different pages of the website. So maybe she's mm-hmm. like, oh, this is great. I love this artist and this artist, and I'm always trying to get them seen.
Mm-hmm.
So you, Brit, and people coming to this to see you, then they get to see these other two artists that I love as well. And so it's kind of a mm-hmm. win-win for everybody. What you're bringing
to the table
is publicity. And what they're mm-hmm. giving you is cachet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, I'm also thinking about it in terms of a circus itself is a presentation of a curated act, you know, so it could be built to feel like a circus.
Totally. The Three Rings.
Like an art circus.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Cool. Thank you for helping me.
It can always grow big, but you can start small, but it could even mm-hmm. be like Bill Irwin, you know, names like that, like just somebody to lend mm-hmm. cachet that would be meaningful in people's.
You have a contact with him. Also, David Arquette is like super into Bozo the Clown right now. And I know him through mutual friends. So that could be interesting too.
Mm-hmm. And cool. The offer is, I'm going to build this thing. You're going to film a video or something. You get to pick two other people that, you know, go along with the you can't hate them. You, Brit, but like two mm-hmm. people that you want to publicize, and we can all live on this thing and just utilize the publicity.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's a fascinating project, just to see how far you can get with that.
Yeah. And I think even that part of it is the thing. The thing is the thing. Mm. Like, this thing doesn't exist, so let's make it. Let's make the container for the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad I can help. It's always fun to brainstorm. Love it. June, do you have anything? Hi, Kate. Well, you're all seeing Kate's gorgeous face. That is the Kate behind Ask Kate on the Abundance Bound community group. And she helps me with creating cash flow. Yeah. Hi, June.
Hi. I just want to say hi. I don't really have that much to report, but... But I just have to say, like, I really feel like these concepts and these teachings and this way of looking at the world and looking at my experience with cash flow is really starting to sink in. And I feel like I'm like seeing the world differently and hearing, you know, I have so many friends that are also hustling and trying to figure things out. And I like am listening to them differently and, you know, able to offer like a little bit of advice, or not really, but like, you know, just being like, well, maybe you should charge more for that or whatever. And kind of, I'm just so grateful that I think really your teaching is like kind of getting into my body a lot more. So that's what I want to share.
That's very exciting to hear. I love love hearing that, because I remember the things that I heard when I was, you know, working on my business, that like landed with me and was like, whoa, that just changed the way I looked at everything. I remember hearing this one guy speak and I was like, oh, and I remember reading, there was a month where I had clients scheduled for organizing. And then all of a sudden, everybody either canceled or rescheduled. There was no reason. There was nothing that went like wrong. It just, the month just went away. And I was like, oh, I have no money coming in next month. And my reaction to that in the days before Google was I just like went down to the library and I'm like, okay, what's this thing called marketing? Marketing book, marketing book, marketing book. And I just started reading all these marketing books. And the thing that landed with me at that time was this one sentence in some book, I don't even remember. And it was like, do the people who are closest to you know how to talk about your business? Mm. I was like, I don't think they do. Because at the time, professional organizing wasn't a thing. Nobody knew. This was before Google. If you hadn't heard of it, you didn't know. I went to jury duty. And when you had to state your profession, I said professional organizer. And the judge was like, you mean unions? And I was like, oh no. I go into people's houses and I like move everything around so it works better. And he's like, yeah, okay. Nobody knew. And I was like, I have to teach people what this thing is.
Mm.
Or they're even gonna hire me to do it. They don't even know it's available to them. And that is why I'm so rock solid in, I know people can build businesses from scratch, because I did it before Google and I did it in an industry that nobody even understood what it was I was selling. So I had to sell them first, educate them first, and then introduce them to. So that's why I started my newsletter. It was like, oh, I've got to start teaching people what this is and showing them pictures of before and after. And it was an actual in the mail newsletter, because the internet was barely, there was no MailChimp. So I would print it out, write it, print it out every month, fold it, stamp it, address it, send it out. every single month. And then people started to like understand. So, but that sentence, I will forever be grateful for that sentence in some book somewhere, changed my world. And then I remember listening to a lecture. there were these organizing conferences that you could go to for the National Association of Professional Organizers. And I couldn't afford to go to the conferences, but they would put the lectures and the keynotes and the breakout sessions on these cassette tapes. And you could buy these cassette tapes from like past conferences. And so I would like be like, okay, well, I can probably get four. I have $20 and they're $5 each. So like I would, you know, buy the ones. And there was this one keynote by this consultant named Alan Weiss, changed my life. And he was brought in by somebody who was smart to talk to these organizers. And he didn't really know organizers. But he was like, you guys are doing your business all wrong. What is this like charge by the hour thing? He's like, no, no, no. You charge by the job. You're like, if I organize your house, like how much money is that going to save you? Okay, great. Then I'm going to charge you that much money. Like his concept didn't exactly align. Like you couldn't lay it right on top of the organizing business because there's a lot more variables involved with how long a project would take. So it's hard to quote just a giant price. And people, the market was unprepared to pay like $10,000, even though some of my clients ended up over the course of us working together paying me thousands of dollars. But had I quoted that up front, they would never have agreed. But I was like, there's something in what he's saying. All of my competitors are like just charging by the hour. So you give them for 3 hours, it's this much. And he introduced me in his talk. He was talking about packaging and selling people packages. And then you can charge more. And then talking about the value what they're getting. Like, it was just like my whole brain was rearranged from that one cassette tape. And it made me so much money. I pass along most of what I learned from Alan in the cash section of the Creating Cash Flow course, but it was like the clouds parted and I felt like I was looking at the world in a totally different way. So I know exactly what you're saying. And that makes me feel so good because I was so grateful. I mean, I never met Alan, but I was so grateful to him, you know, and the whoever signed him up to give a talk and recorded it on a cassette and let me buy it. Because it totally changed my life. So that makes me feel great that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I just listened to the cash section of the course and I it was really cool how you walked us through how your pricing changed. Yeah. And like all of the evolution of how you got to what you got to is really, really cool. Yeah, so I'm really excited and I'm just still trying to absorb. And then hopefully soon I'll be able to actually implement.
Yeah, great. Well, we will be here to help you actually implement.
Great. Thank you so much.
Good to see you. Nice Miami Vice sweatshirt, by the
way. How cool is this?
Damn, look at that. Oh, stunt team.
Yeah, stunt team. Big deal.
Okay.
You guys, I'm working at the meditation center tonight. If anyone wants to take a class online, I can get you in for free.
Very nice. Very nice. There is an offer. Are we complete? Anybody else? I think we're good. We're good. Okay. We're good for today. Then I will see you all later. Bye. I'll see you in March, I think. Okay.
Bye, everybody. Good luck with all.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah. Thank you, Christine. Bye. Yeah. See you later, Kate.
Thank you.